This meeting of the House Transportation Committee can now come to order. It is 1:33 on Tuesday, February 25th in room 124. Members present are Representative Moore, Representative McCabe, Representative Stutes, Co-Chair Representative Eichheit, and myself, Representative Carrick. We do have a quorum to conduct business, and please silence your cell phones. Before we get started, I'd like to thank Suniva St. Clair from House Records and Susan Quigley from the Juno LAO for staffing our committee today, as well as my committee aide, Griffin Sakeo, and thank you all for your help. Our agenda today is a presentation from the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators from their president, Brian Hawkins, who is joining us online. And I will also note that we are just joined by Representative Tilton. So without further ado, welcome to the House Transportation Committee, Mr. Hawkins, and please feel free to start your presentation.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I understand it's raining in Juneau. We've got a nice day going here in Homer, Alaska. Spring-like weather, so I don't know exactly what happened to winter, but I think most of us have just moved on. Thanks. So this presentation was put together by Carl Yucatel, the Port Director for Juneau, and Peggy McLaughlin, the Port Director of Unalaska Dutch Harbor, and was presented to the AML conference just last week. And so I thought that'd be a good place for us to start. So if we could go to the next page, please. Great. This is the association, and our mission is to serve and promote Alaska's ports and harbors. We're a 501c6 nonprofit organization, and we have 47 community harbors in our organization and about 60 supporting industry businesses. We, of course, lead the efforts for the DOT Harbor Matching Grant Program, and we're very involved with the abandoned derelict vessel legislation. On the left there, you see the managing board, and you see we're from a pretty diverse group from across the state: Homer, Dutch Harbor, Sitka, Cordova, Ketchikan, Haines, Whittier, and Juneau. Well, next page, please. I love this this map with this overview showing the communities that are members of this association. Alaska is, of course, as we all know, is huge geographically, but I like to say that we're the world's largest small town. This, you'll notice in the center of the state, Nenana is one of our harbors in our association. So we're starting to see more river communities taking interest in joining because of the benefits that come from this organization with helping to develop tariffs and things like that from the experience of other harbors. So the networking that goes on with this organization between communities is quite remarkable. The next page.
And actually, Mr. Hawkins, if we could go back to that map. Just out of curiosity, when did Nenana join the organization, and what is their current port traffic look like, I guess, if you could elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think they've been a member about 5 years now. And, you know, I really don't know, you know, how much traffic they take at their docks. Of course, the river traffic in the summertime.
Mr. Hawkins, sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to note for the record that Representative Mina has also joined us.
Thank you. I'd like to point out, so since we're looking at that again, Emonic, which is on the coast in western Alaska, the mouth of the Yukon River, that community joined about 2016. when they joined, they were serving as a port, but all they had was, you know, a riverbank, and barges would push in and offload, and they wanted to get some infrastructure and build, a, you know, actual facilities. They were, you'll see later in this presentation, they were a recipient of a build grant, and I'm very pleased to say that they have a dock, they have a barge landing now, they have organized laydown yard facilities, and the benefit of that is that at the mouth of the Yukon, they can pre-stage materials there to be lightered up to the communities further upriver, and it's been a real benefit to all those communities. I asked the city manager for Ramonic about how many people live upriver of them. He said about 10,000. So I've always been excited about this because this is a new port in Alaska.
And we also have a question from Representative McCabe.
Yeah, thanks. So, Mr. Hawkins, a little disappointed, actually. This page is the only page on it that has anything about Port McKenzie, which serves more than 200,000 people if you include Fairbanks, and also has a laydown yard and an area for barges and all sorts of stuff. So I'm excited to talk about Emonic and excited to talk about Nenana. I'm disappointed that there's not more discussion about the premier growing port in Alaska, which is Port McKenzie, which is a deep water port and has a lot going for it. So.
Understood.
I just had to get that in there. Maybe next year we'll have some more discussion and a few more slides on Port McKenzie. It's also part of the federal marine highway system, which is a little known fact.
We also, Mr. Hawkins, have a question from Representative Stutes.
Thank you. Just in relation to Representative McCabe's question, is Port McKenzie an operating port, so to speak? I thought it was kind of in the development process.
Did you hear that question, Mr. Hawkins?
I thought that the question went to Representative McCabe.
Happy to answer.
Understand.
I think let's have you as our presenter answer that question, Mr. Hawkins. And
yes, it to the question, Port McKenzie is an operating port.
Be in the black this year too, by the way. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Thank you.
Finally.
Feel free to continue. I don't see any more questions on this slide.
All right, next slide. So just some bullet points to talk through. Alaska ports and harbors are an economic driver for the state and for the nation. Our ports and harbors provide the critical network of transportation for people and for the supply chain. Sound port and harbor infrastructure is key to economic stability and growth and security. And workforce development is essential to the longevity of our infrastructure and our way of life. Next slide, unless there's any questions.
You're good to continue.
Okay. So Alaska has 33,000 miles of coastline. That's more than the entire continental U.S. combined. 82% of Alaskan residents live in coastal communities. And 70,000 Alaskan jobs are in the maritime industry. That's 20% of our workforce. Three of the top 10 fishing ports in the U.S. are in Alaska. That's Dutch Harbor, Kodiak, and Naknek. And tourism is essential to Alaska's economy. Nearly 60% of all tourists arrive via cruise ship. And tourism is the largest private employer in Southeast Alaska. And the United States is an Arctic nation because of Alaska. Next slide. Just a few more little facts about Alaska. So largest private ports in Alaska is Valdez, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, and Red Dog Mine, and then Nikiski. The largest public port is Anchorage. It's a national strategic DOD port, and 85% of all Alaska cargo goes through the Port of Anchorage. Small boat harbors, we have 125 total, and 108 of those are under local municipal control. And there are limited federal programs to maintain those facilities.
We have a question on that last slide, Mr. Hawkins. Representative Stutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, through the chair. So who controls the balance of the small boat harbors that are not under local control?
That they're still state-owned. And so state has been, over time, transferring the ownership of the harbors from the state to the cities. For instance, here in Homer, we bought the harbor for $1 in 1999. And a recent development in the area was the city of Seldovia received the Jackaloff Bay dock from the state just a few years ago. So they've been transferring the ownership over. And so, of course, many communities own multiple harbors.
Thank you.
And then, Mr. Hawkins, we have a question from Co-Chair Eichheit.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Through the chair, I had a was wondering if you could expand about the Anchorage support of Alaska National Strategic Department of Defense port. Can you just expand on what that designation means?
Sure. So the Don Young Port of Alaska is right adjacent to J-Bear, and they do sea lift for a military sea lift there across the port facility. So when troops are deployed or coming home, the equipment oftentimes comes via ship across that dock facility.
Thank you.
Please continue.
Okay. So the Alaska Society of Civil Engineers does a evaluation of the port and harbor facilities in the state, and in 2017 they gave us a grade D for our facilities, and that was because there was no plan for establishing an Arctic deep water dock at that time. The Port of Alaska Anchorage had no recapitalization momentum. Southeast Alaska regional cruise ships were not coming together with a plan to serve the Neo-Panamax size ships, the really large cruise ships, and small boat harbor matching DOT grants were uncertain.
And Mr. Hawkins, I have a question there. I'm just unfamiliar with the term Neo-Panamax. I thought Panamax was the largest size of cruise ship. What's the size of difference between that and a Neo-Panamax ship?
You know, I probably should have researched the answer to that question. I don't actually know myself. We're not a big cruise ship port here. But I do know that... Yeah. The dock facilities they had weren't able to serve the next generation of really big ones. And so they have been working to build facilities for that.
Did you ever?
Ships used to be limited by the size of a ship that could go through the Panama Canal. Mm-hmm. Well, remember, they've rebuilt the Panama Canal, so it's a new Panama Canal, which is wider and deeper, so it allows a bigger ship. And I actually did just look it up. Cruise ships, some of the cruise ships, they're like 100, and it's amazing what it takes. Neo-Panamax ships can be up to 1,200 feet, 366 meters long, 168 feet wide, and require a draft of up to 50 feet, which is, of course, why the port of Anchorage can't take them. But there are some ports in Southeast that can actually take a Neo-Panamax cruise ship. So pretty, they're huge.
And I maybe Representative McCabe knows the answer. Which Southeast Alaska ports can now handle the size of ship?
I don't know.
I've got a slide on that.
Okay. We'll play.
There you go. See?
Thank you, Mr. Hawkins. You can continue.
Okay. That's next slide, please. Since 2017, 2020, the Army Corps of Engineers completed the Port of Nome Modification Feasibility Study, and in 2020, Congress authorized a boarded bill of $505 million from the feds, and with a local match of $126 million. We know that project went out to bid, and the bids came in too high. I'm not sure what the progress on this, but I don't think it's not a dead issue. I believe they're still working the problem, so still in process. Next slide. So this is the Port of Juneau. Pre-2016, you can see where the ships were real close to shore there. And then after that, they built new dock facilities so that they could handle the bigger ships. And if you look at the next slide, you can see they just built out into deeper water, and then they made the dock facilities are actually large concrete floats that are at the proper level for when the ships come alongside. They have a very gradual step gangway from the ship to the dock. And so it's all ADA compliant and really squared away. I think the next thing that Juneau is taking on is electrification for those berths. Other improvements since then, a new private cruise ship dock at Huna was completed in 2019. New private cruise ship dock in Ward Cove, Ketchikan, completed in 2020. And a new private cruise ship dock going into Whittier. And these are all handling the bigger ships, so thanks. Don Young Port of Alaska, formerly the Port of Anchorage. Pre-2017, they were spending about $7 million a year just in maintaining or trying to maintain the dock, piling repair, things like that. The recapitalization project was mired in a lawsuit, and post-2017, a $1 billion Port of Alaska modernization program was underway, and in 2022, they completed the petroleum concrete dock and terminal. Grant successes for the Port of Alaska, I think that totals about $134 million between the state of Alaska, the two MERED grants, and a BUILD grant. So, making progress. Next slide. Alaska DOT Harbor Facility Grant Program was established in 2006, and it's only been fully funded three times since it was first established. Underfunded at a legislative level, purpose is to encourage local municipalities to assume the financial and managerial responsibilities of small boat harbors. It requires a 50% local match, and before you can apply, you have to have shovel-ready plans in place. So the engineering has to be complete, too. So the community is stepping up with the engineering and 50% of the local match. Any questions about that chart?
I don't see any. I think you can continue.
Okay. Very good. So just more on the Municipal Harbor Grant Program. VCs going from 2020 to 2026, which is the year we're working towards now, and the number of projects that were submitted, and number that were approved, and then the asked versus the funds that were finally approved. Next slide. These are the grant awards for 2023. This was a election year. $20 million was the request. In the end, $16,432,000 was the award. And that was the largest grant award that since the inception of the program. In 2024, the next slide. Three cities put projects forward, and the this is the review results, and so the request was $8.2 million. But if you go to the next slide, the final bottom line, the project was awarded $5.5 million. So two of the projects were fully awarded and one was partially. And in 2025, only one city put a project forward, and that was Juneau, and it was awarded $5 million, which of course it matched for $5 million. If we look at the next slide, the 2026 request is $7.1 million for three communities that put four projects forward. The top project is Unalaska Dutch Harbor, and then Sitka, and then Juneau has two projects that they're proposing. And 7.1 is the ask. The local match will be matched with $9.4 million, and the projected total project cost will be $30 million. And, you know, these are dollars that are spent in these communities with state and local contractors and making improvements to facilities that are very much needed. I know that the Robert Storrs Harbor, they recently had floats that were so damaged by the wind they had to decommission them. So they're losing float systems with that, those old facilities. Okay, the next slide. These are just the big grant wins for the past few years. We thought it would be good to include these here to show. You can see, I pointed out Umonic, that's at the top. They won a $23 million build grant. So these dollars have been going into doing good works throughout the state here, leveraging state dollars and local dollars to, you know, recapitalize these facilities. So good work for everybody. I can tell you that's a lot of work managing these grant dollars. I did some rough calculations this morning on that. It looks like $232 million for all these projects coming into the state. Any questions about those?
I think you're good to keep going.
Okay. Okay, we can go to the next slide. And the next one.
Excellent.
Mr. Hawkins, we do have a question. Representative McCabe.
So, Mr. Hawkins, thanks. Through the chair, I'm interested to know. I don't see any MARAD grants on any of this. Are you just not tracking those, or have we not been receiving any of those?
There has. Earlier, I saw some MARAD grants. I'm looking back through now. Yeah, if PIDP is a MARAD grant, so Port of Alaska got two MARAD PIDP grants.
And follow up. So through the chair, so just for Alaskans that might be watching, PIDP is Port Infrastructure Development Program. Is that PIDP?
That's correct, and that is through MARAD.
And through the chair again, MARAD is Maritime Administration.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
And I have a question too, Mr. Hawkins, on the slide we're currently on. I see $2.4 million towards Seldovia's dock. When was that? Was that in 2023?
I don't know exactly. I think that's about right, 22 or 23. I don't know where they're at with the project. I know that they have done the engineering or nearly complete the engineering.
Okay, thank you. That makes sense. I was actually there this summer at that dock, and it's a little bit rough around the edges, so I was not thinking it had recently been redone. But perhaps they haven't done the work just yet.
Yeah, that's correct. I can look into that. I've been curious about that myself, hoping to see maybe this summer.
Any other questions from committee members at this point? All right, seeing none, Mr. Hawkins, feel free to continue.
Okay, next slide, please. And so in 2021, the Alaska Society of Civil Engineers raised the grade to D+, so that was because the Congress authorization to designate Nome as a deep water Arctic port. Port of Alaska Modernization Project is underway, and private investment for cruise ship docks has built capacity for the tourism economy. However, the Small Boat Harbor Matching Grant Fund remains uncertain. So that's the presentation we have there. I can tell you that the civil engineering, Alaska Society of Civil Engineers are going to be coming out with another grade soon for Alaska Ports and Harbors. So more to come on that.
We have a couple questions, Mr. Hawkins. First from Representative Stutes.
Thank you, and through the co-chair, thank you. You may or may not know the answer to this, but insofar as the Nome Deepwater Port, will that port require regular dredging in order to maintain the status as a deepwater port?
No, I don't know that. I know that Nome, the small boat harbor and the entrance to harbor will require dredging, just like it always has. But I don't know, once they get out to the deeper water, if that is going to require maintenance dredging.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And Representative McCabe?
Thanks. Just to bring it to the committee's attention, the Alaska section of the American Society of Civil Engineers has, within the last couple days, actually come out with their new report, and we have a C-. Woohoo, score. So, but the question, I have a couple of questions, actually. First one is, do you know, sir, or does anybody know, does the Nome port actually have an anchor tenant? As you'll see from on Thursday with the railroad, probably, they're worried about an anchor tenant for Port McKenzie. And I'm wondering, was it just Graphite One that was an anchor tenant? Because I don't think they need a port for to do what they're doing. So I'm wondering who the anchor tenant for the huge amounts of money we're going to spend on the Nome port is. I don't remember. Anybody? No?
Rep Stutes?
I think the only thing that I've ever heard is the military.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, Mr. Hawkins, do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question. Sorry.
Okay. Follow up? So
Shifting
gears a little bit, Mr. Hawkins, I'm interested in particular in the barge activity in Cook Inlet and around South Central Alaska. And I know that the barge operators are scrambling to find places to work on their barges and to lay their barges up for the wintertime. And I'm wondering if you know if we have enough room in our ports in South Central for the barges. I remember in Kodiak seeing the barges up kind of. Yep. Working on them there. So I'm curious if you happen to know if there's a sort of a lack of places for barge layup and maintenance.
Yeah, from my experience as port director for Homer and in this area, yes, I would say that there is a lack of adequate moorage for barges. They of course are too big to come into our harbors, and we have some barges here in Ketchumek Bay that are on permanent moorings. That moorings are registered, through DNR. And then we have barges that we've hauled out in our marine haul-out and repair yard here using airbags. They hauled out for the winter. But I do think that there's a lack of moorage, adequate moorage for barges.
Thanks. And follow-up?
Follow-up?
Yeah, so I know that Port McKenzie has seen a huge increase in barge traffic for a number of things. It seems like they're using barges in Cook Inlet for Fire Island Wind Project, Tionic Fish Passage Project, and transport of equipment and housing now out to Western Alaska, and fuel supplies, construction materials to villages. So I suspect that we're going to have to, and maybe you could confirm this for me, we're going to have to figure out a way to lay up these barges. I guess we could put airbags on the Homer Spit, maybe, and pull them all up on the spit, kind of like a parking lot. But just because there is such a need all of a sudden for barge traffic around South Central and Western Alaska, frankly. So I don't know, maybe you could confirm that.
Yeah, I believe there is a need. I think that there's an opportunity as well. I think it's important to remember when you're thinking of Alaska, and especially Western Alaska, that there's really no winter moorage there, right? There's you've got small boat harbors that are seasonal, and you can't leave these vessels in the rivers. Mm-hmm. And when you haul them out on the bank, you've got to get them well and clear, so that they aren't damaged by the winter ice. And so we're seeing a lot of traffic here that we have here in Homer Harbor are the river tugs, and barges are hauled out on our beaches, just like you mentioned. And in the past, much of that traffic has traveled to the lower 48 due to the lack of facilities here in Alaska.
Thanks.
Really great line of questions. Do we have any other questions from committee members? Awesome. Thank you very much for presenting for us today, Mr. Hawkins. And if committee members do have additional questions, we can forward them along to Mr. Hawkins or try to get answers to other questions. And with no further business before the committee, we are going to adjourn. Our next meeting will be on Thursday, February 27th at our regular time at 1 p.m. here in room 124. And at that meeting, we'll be listening to a presentation from the Alaska Railroad. So with nothing else before the committee, we are adjourned at 2:07 p.m.